Our first reading is from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, and then we'll have a second reading, Mark chapter 4, verse 35, just one verse. So let's listen to these words from Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 and 3. This is very early on in this story, the story of God and our story. And it's very early on in God breaking into the daily life of humanity to do something new. And it'll reveal something to us about who matters to God. Let's listen to these words. The Lord had said to Abraham, "Go from your country, from your people, and from your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and you will be blessed. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. Those who bless you, I will bless, and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all peoples on the earth will be blessed through you." Our second reading is from Mark chapter 30, or verse chapter 4, verse 35. This is early in Jesus' ministry with his disciples, followers. That day, when evening came, he said to his disciples, and they're by the lake, near their own homelands, "Let us go to the other side." God's word to us. So this morning's message, sermon, is for those who've ever felt a sense of guilt. How many have felt a sense of guilt? All right. And this morning's sermon is for those who felt a sense of shame. Often when we feel a sense of guilt, there comes with it a little bit of shame. And this morning's sermon is for those who've ever judged anyone else. Okay? How many of us have judged someone else? You know what? Even there are many times where we may even be judging who? Ourselves. Absolutely. So this is a message for all of us, those who fit in those categories. All right? Now, guilt is, when we say, this is what guilt, just to a reminder, is guilt is like, I have done something bad. And shame is, I am something bad. Okay? Guilt is, I made a mistake. Shame is, I am a mistake. All right? And judging others is you, or even ourselves, we say of ourselves, but I'll use the example of judging someone else. You are, or what you did is bad, or you are bad. You made a mistake. You are a mistake. You are a mistake. All right? So that's who the message is for. And so I want to just share with you, here's a little example of what that looks like. Again, Reese Witherspoon. How many of you know Reese Witherspoon? She's a successful actress, and And we can judge how successful, right? We can do the judging thing. But let's just say she's very successful, okay? Certainly, most of us have heard that name or might know that name. And here's what she says about herself. Says, I don't watch any movie I'm in. It's horrifying. I'll just focus on something stupid if I did that. Like, I hate my laugh. Why did I smile? Sometimes I look at myself and think, dude, I have the biggest, goofiest smile on earth. When she really wants to feel bad, this is hers, this is what she says, is when I really want to feel bad, I Google myself. All right? Now, let me explain. Googling is this funky word that basically means I'm going to go on the computer and see, find my name wherever it's mentioned on in internet land. Okay? She'll Google herself, and she says, only in very dark moments, moments of pure self-loathing, do I type my name into the computer search engine, the Google. And you never read anything positive. You always go straight to where they say something nasty about you. You're fat. You're ugly. You're tired. You're worthless. You don't have a career anymore. And it's just an affirmation of everything horrible about yourself. Now, you and I might not be an actor or an actress, but that's what that looks like. In a 1998 survey, 1,000 Americans were asked what chance a variety of public figures had of going to heaven. And the winner in this heavenly survey was Mother Teresa. All right, this was 1998. 79% chose her, saying it's very likely or somewhat likely that she'll show up in heaven. Of course, she's either there now or not, right? So according to the results of this survey, here are the chances that other famous persons had. Oprah Winfrey, 66%. Michael Jordan, 65%. Colin Powell, 61%. Princess Diana, 60%. Al Gore, 55%. Hillary Rodham Clinton, 55%. Bill Clinton, 52%. Pat Robertson, 47%. Newt Gingrich, 40%. Dennis Rodman, 28%. And O.J. Simpson, 19%. Okay? But here, this is the most important, this is the interesting thing about this is that of those surveyed, this is the person doing the poll now, 87% said they were going to heaven. Now, so they 87%, in other words, they said that it's more likely that they would be going to heaven than Mother Teresa. Right? 87% said that they were going to heaven. Only 79% said that Mother Teresa might. All right? So, there are three phases when it comes to learning. And the first phase is we get the right answer. And the second phase is we get the right question. And the third phase is we adapt, we find the best questions to ask. And this morning, a defining question we have to ask on Palm Sunday, the week before Easter, for ourselves and for whoever we might invite to Easter, is who matters? Who matters to Jesus? Who matters to God? And more pointedly, do some matter more than others? Okay? Do some matter more than others? All right, so I want to explore this, and I want to explore what's it look like if we assume that some do matter more than others. Play that out and see what that looks like as a way of discovering and seeing what the Bible has to say for us about who matters to God. And then knowing who matters to God, what does it mean for us? What does it mean for those of us who are guests or who are not members of the congregation who would like to really continue to grow in their relationship with God, but don't quite feel yet that they have come to know that goodness, that grace, that gift. And what does it mean for us who've been on this journey for a long time, especially in a week before Easter right now? All right? So let's say that it's true that some matter more than others to Jesus. All right? If we assume that, that means that either those who are Christians, those who are the true believers, matter more to Jesus, and those who are not matter less. Okay? Or those who are not true believers matter more to Jesus, and those who are Christians matter less. For example, those of us who are here might be the 99 sheep, and the one sheep out there that Jesus goes after might matter more to Jesus. Okay? So it's got to be one or the other if some matter more than others to Jesus. And whichever way you look at it, it doesn't matter whether it's us or them, whether it's Christians or those who aren't Christians. Either way, these are the implications. So first is that what we do determines whether we matter more or not. Okay, in the case where if the Christians matter more, then saying yes to Jesus, something that we do that results in us mattering more. And in the same way that if we decide not to, that we matter less. And so what we do determines whether we matter or not. You see? So if we do what Christians do, walking old ladies across the street and doing everything, you know, that we're motivated to do, and then in this way we are determining whether we matter more or not. All right? So second is that our selection, in the same way, our selection of God, that is, our becoming a Christian, somehow determines whether God sees us as mattering more or not. Our selection of God determines God's selection of us. All right? Or God randomly picks some without any real meaningful criteria. Kind of, you know, God grabbed you out of the pile and here you are, but not somebody else. You see? Or God plays favorites. Now, how many of you, let me describe this. So, God playing favorites. Now, I know a family where the father would say to his kids, well, he has four kids, and he would say to the one child in the presence of the others, "You're my favorite." Can you see God the Father doing that? Is it painful, hurtful to be a child who's not the favorite? As blatantly as this father declared. Can you see how even being the child who is the father's favorite, can you see how even that child's relationship with the father is tainted? Then it becomes, all right, I have to keep on doing what I'm doing so that I'm the favorite. And if I mess it up, then I get out of the favorite category and somebody else gets put in. Does that make sense? We also would call into question our own motivation. You see, because if some people matter more than others to God, that means that we should see others in the same way. So that we should look at someone and say, yep, that person matters more, that person matters less. Does that make sense? That homeless guy, that no good bum on the corner, doesn't matter as much. Or my neighbor, whom I can't stand, doesn't matter as much. Or I don't matter as much. And that brings us to the next point, and that is that if some people matter more than others to God, then we call into question whether we matter to God. And it's not certain whether we're in or out. And if we say that some matter more than others to God, then we call into question a whole host of scriptures. God gave his only begotten Son so that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Whoever believes in him may have eternal life. Matthew 18:14, 2 Peter 3:9, 1 John 4:10, Romans 10:11-13, Mark 5:45, all of which say we matter. All matter. And lastly, if some matter more than others to God, then we contradict Jesus' character, the way he lived, the way he embraced the embraceless, loved the loveless. Even the worst, Judas, at the table with the master on the night of his arrest, put his hand in with Jesus as Jesus reached for the bread. And Jesus said to Judas, go ahead and do what you're going to do, my friend. He calls friend the one who betrayed him. Why should we do any less? God loves you. God loves me. And it seems that God draws a circle bigger than we do, time and time again. Where we would say, well, those who meet a certain criteria, who get it, who believe, and who dress like we do, or who are respectful of us, we'll let them in the circle. But Jesus says, make it bigger. Make it bigger. And the big news is that you and I are in his circle. And so what does this matter to us? If God's mercy really is for everyone who ever lived on the face of the planet, mass murderer, child molester, the neighbor who turns on the sprinklers at 5 a.m., the family member who never visits or who says bad things about you behind your back. And for us, knowing the worst of ourselves, God still yet embraces us. That's awesome. Great news. Huh? Is that great news? So what does this mean then for those of you who are guests, those of you who aren't members of the body of Christ here, or who feel as though I'd like to be connected, completely connected with God, and I don't feel that. There's nothing you can do that will cause God not to love you. Zippo. And as you open your heart, your mind, to this reality, this truth, as you feel it, sense it, you'll know the truth that He loves you, that He's drawn you in, that you're not outside the circle, that you have no reason for guilt or shame anymore. And that not only is Jesus risen, but so are you as you say yes to Him. And so if that's you, I want to invite you to talk to someone you know, someone you trust, and tell them about a decision that you'll make right now. I want that. If I matter to God, I want it. And I want to be part of a community that embraces me and knows that I matter. Or come and see me after worship. Or write on a little slip of paper and put it in the offering plate up here. So second, what does it matter to those of us who've been on the journey a long time? Well, if we matter to God, and our worst enemy matters to God, then this shifts who we are, who we're called to be. Now, our neighbor matters. Why? Because God says they matter. And if someone matters, then we don't just say they matter, but we do something about it. I want to invite you to invite them to Easter. In your bulletin, if you haven't already put it in the offering plate, there's a little slip that says, yeah, I'm in. I want to invite. This is a way to say, yeah, because I matter to God and my neighbor matters to God. I'm going to do something about it. And we could do it together. This Easter, we're going to hear some pretty good news. And God says, I want them to hear it. You matter.